Well, happy Easter, everyone. It's good to celebrate with you.
I'm not sure that helps.
So a few years ago, it was all the rage. You go to a blockbuster movie and you could go to the session where you got some glasses like these and you could watch the movie in 3D. Actually, 3D isn't all that new. It was patented in 1897. That's how old 3D is. And the first 3D movie was in 1915. So it's been around that long. But now with HD TVs and 3D TVs, what they're doing is they're going back and they're taking old classic movies that have already been made in black and white, and then they've been made again in colour, and they're remaking them a third time in 3D. I read about a commentator who was watching the same movie three times, and he'd watch it first in black and white, and he'd watch it then in colour, and the third time he'd watch it in 3D, and he said, "When I saw the movie in black and white, I got the facts of the story. And when I saw it in colour," he said, "the story began to get me. And when I saw it in 3D, it became my story. I was actually experiencing it. I was part of the story." And folks, I think one reason why people don't get excited about Easter is they don't see it in 3D. They've only seen it in one dimension, in black and white, just the facts. Sure, I believe that. So what? And they don't get excited about the full message of the resurrection. But Easter is a 3D event. The first dimension is the proof of the resurrection. It's what happened all those years ago. The second dimension is the promise of the resurrection. It's the future expectation. And the third dimension is the power of the resurrection. It's the experience of the resurrection in our own lives. And that's the most important, because that's the thing that will change our lives, the third dimension. What we're living right now is just a fraction of what God has in store for us. I mean, Brody, just help us. And down at Bronte, we used a rope to illustrate. Our human life now is just a tiny, tiny part of our resurrected life, our eternal life. And we were made for 3D living. Now, you may be saying, "Peter, I'm living the good life now." And you may be. A lot of people are living the good life. Looking good, feeling good, having the goods. But there's a problem with the good life. It's not good enough. Why? Because a lot of people look good and they feel good and they have the goods and they're still dissatisfied. They still haven't found what they're looking for, because we were made for far more. There's actually something better than the good life. It's called the better life. But we can't live the better life, life that God intended us for us to live, unless we're plugged into God's resurrection power. So let's look at 3D living, living in all three dimensions this morning. As we prepare to do that, let's pray. Well, Lord, thank you for the facts of the resurrection. Thank you for the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But thank you that you mean his life and death and resurrection to mean so much more than that. You intend for that to mean something for our lives and our living each day. And we pray on this Easter Sunday that you would help us just to grab hold of that a little more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first dimension is the proof of the resurrection. We'll just touch on that this morning. The fact is, Jesus made outrageous claims while he was here on earth. He said things like, "I'm God in the flesh from heaven in human form, and I'm the way to heaven." And he didn't say it once, he said it multiple times. So he's either a con man, a fake, or he's telling the truth. And many people have claimed to be God. The difference between Jesus and everybody else's claim to be God is this. Jesus said, "I'm going to give you a way to know that it's true." He said, "I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to be dead for 3 days, and then I'm going to be resurrected." Imagine making that claim. I'm going to be resurrected. Not resuscitated, resurrected. And then you'll know that all these things that I'm saying are the truth, that I'm telling it straight, that I am who I said I am the Son of God. And everybody in Jesus' day knew about the resurrection claims of Jesus. In fact, his claim was so well known that even Jesus' critics, the people who put him to death, knew about it. The day after they killed him, they went to the Roman governor named Pilate, and here's what they said. The next day, after they'd killed Jesus, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate, the governor, and they told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said." They're talking about Jesus. "While he was still alive, he said, 'After 3 days, I will be raised from the dead.'" So they came up with a plan. They said, "So, Your Honor, we request that you seal the tomb until the third day." And that kind of makes sense. It says, "This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing the body and then telling everybody that he came back to life." If I was a skeptic, that's a pretty good plan. Because what if Jesus is put to death and then some true believers, fanatical types, come and steal the body and take it away and then claim, well, we saw him, he's alive, but you don't get to see him. The Pharisees said, then we'd be worse off than we were at first. So this is a pretty good plan. Pilate, the governor, replies, "Okay, take some guards, secure it as best you can." So they sealed the tomb, it says. They put a Roman seal around the tomb that could not be broken. And they posted guards to protect it. Folks, this is the only time in history they've posted live soldiers to protect a dead man. They don't want Jesus coming out. They don't want the disciples going in. Everybody knew this claim, this proof that Jesus gave, even the Romans, even the skeptics. Did Jesus keep his word? Yes. Obviously he did. He was resurrected. That's why today around the world, people like us are celebrating Easter. A lot of people don't understand how much proof there is of Jesus' resurrection. He's coming back to life. He appeared to people after his resurrection for the next 40 days. He talked with people, he hugged them, he ate dinner with them, he went fishing with them. And it wasn't just one eyewitness. For 40 days, he was seen by many different people. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't a hologram. They talked to him, they hugged him, they ate dinner with him. Later on, Paul lists some of the eyewitnesses. He doesn't give us all of them, but he lists some of the witnesses who saw the first Easter dimension, the black and white proof of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and then he was raised from the dead on the third day. He was seen by Peter, by the 12 apostles. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died now." So there's 500 witnesses just there. And then it says, "Then he was seen by James and later on seen by all the apostles. Last of all, I saw him too." Now, you might know that Paul wasn't a Christian. In fact, he hated Christians. He persecuted Christians. He was killing Christians. He was putting Christians in jail. And he swapped teams. He was a skeptic and now he's a follower of Jesus. If I saw the resurrected Jesus, I'm thinking that might make a believer out of me too. Because that guy who was on a cross, he's now walking around talking to people, that'd get my attention. So Jesus didn't just show up to a few people and then leave. No, overall, about 900 witnesses. There isn't a court in the land that would turn down that kind of proof, which is why within about 15 years, Jerusalem, a city of 200,000, the church grew to about 100,000 because everybody had seen him. But you know what? Most people, that's all they know about Easter. The black and white, the facts. So what? "I believe Jesus Christ is who he said he was, the Son of God. He came to earth, died on the cross for my sins. So what? Let's go hunt eggs." Because they're only seeing it in black and white. Yes, Jesus died on the cross, rose again to prove who he was, but he did it to do much more than that. So let's go to our next dimension, which is living color. The next dimension, the second dimension, is the promise of the resurrection. The promise of the resurrection is what's going to happen in the future because of what Jesus did 2,018 years ago. What's the promise? The promise of the resurrection is Jesus will also resurrect me. Hello? Now I'm interested. Now you've got my attention. Now I'm a part of the story. Now it's in living colour. Jesus, who was resurrected, has made another outrageous claim that he's going to resurrect you after you die. He's not only proved that there's life after death, but he offers it to you. He wants to give you eternal life. The promise of the resurrection is that death is no longer the end, that there's life beyond the grave. And Jesus proved it, and he says, if you'll trust me in me, death becomes a transition, not an ending point. Death is just that little point in the rope where the red line becomes the rest of the line. One day your heart is going to stop. It's going to be the end of your body, but it's not going to be the end of you because God made you for eternal life. That's why we often have that feeling that there's got to be more to life than this, because there is more to life than this. So Jesus made this amazing promise in John 11, I am the resurrection, I'm it. And I am the life, those who believe in me, even though they die, will live again. That's quite a promise. Even though they die, they will live. And you know what? I wouldn't believe it if Jesus hadn't proved it by doing resurrection himself. Friends, if Jesus hadn't died on the cross and been resurrected, we would have zero chance of heaven. No hope of the afterlife, no eternal life, whatever that looks like. If Jesus hadn't done that, death would be the end. It's over. We'd only get to go around once. So we better do it with gusto because this is all we've got. But that's not what happened. Jesus proved there's more. There's a hereafter, there's heaven, there's an eternity. Not only was he resurrected, but he's going to resurrect us if we trust him to do that. The Bible says, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will also raise us. I like that part. I'm glad that Jesus came back to life, but I like the part that says he's going to raise me too. Kind of fond of that idea. Now this is getting interesting. Now all of a sudden it's coming out of black and white and going into colour because I'm seeing that God is going to give me eternal life because of what he did 2018 years ago. And here's the cool thing about it. We don't even have to earn our way into heaven. We don't have to work our way into heaven. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Peter. It says, now we live, since the resurrection, with a wonderful expectation. So remember, this is stage two. Dimension one is the event. Dimension two is the expectation. It's the promise. Because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. Did you know that God had made reservations for you in heaven? It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. That means nobody can take it from you. Listen, friends, you can lose everything else in life. You can lose your family, you can lose your money, you can lose your health, you can lose your mind, but you can't lose your salvation. Once it's been given to you, because you're not keeping it. It's kept for you by Jesus. He paid for it and he keeps it. We just trust him. That's it. And that's a great relief. God, it says, in his mighty power will protect you until you receive this salvation because you're trusting him. How awesome is that? I mean, let's be honest. A lot of our expectations end up being disappointments. Sin has busted pretty much everything. Nothing works perfectly on earth. Our body doesn't work perfectly. Well, mine doesn't these days, anyway. And the weather doesn't work perfectly, and the economy doesn't work perfectly, and our dreams get broken, and our hearts get broken. There's no perfect marriage, no perfect friendship, there's no perfect dream, there's no perfect plan. But the Bible says this is one expectation that Jesus is going to save you and take you to heaven if you put your trust in him. That's one you're never going to be disappointed by. The Bible says this expectation will not disappoint us. for we know how dearly God loves us. Let me review. Easter in 3D, past, present, and future. The proof of the resurrection and the promise of the resurrection. And now we need to look at the power, because that's the one that can change you. The first dimension of Easter, Jesus proved who he said he was, is factual. It actually happened. The promise of Easter is eternal. It hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen in the future, where God's going to take you to heaven because of what Jesus did. But the third dimension, the power of the resurrection, is transformation. It will change your life. It gives you the power to work on the problems of your life right now. So what's the third dimension of the resurrection? It's the power of the resurrection, that Jesus offers his resurrection power to me every day. Now we may not rely on it, but that's our problem. We may not access it, but that's our problem. That's our loss. But Jesus offers to us the same power that raised him from the dead. It's available to us in our daily lives to help us with our problems. Now I'm in the story. Now it's 3D. The third dimension isn't an event. It's not an expectation. It's a daily experience. It's something we can experience every day in our lives. And sadly, many people never get there. There are a lot of people who acknowledge the proof. I believe Jesus is who he said he was. And there are a lot of people who accept the promise. I believe he's going to save me and take me to heaven. But many people don't access the power. And that's why their lives are no different to anybody else's. How do we know when we haven't accessed the power? Probably because we have things like fear and frustration and fatigue and failure in our lives. We're not plugged into the power that raised Jesus. The first thing we feel is frustration, because there are a lot of things that we'd like to change, but we don't have the power to change them, and we get frustrated. Or we get fatigued because we're running on our own strength, and we get worn out and we get tired, and God never meant for us to go through life on our own power. And we become afraid when we're not plugged into God's power. Why? Because there's a lot of things in our lives that we can't control. We can't control the past. We can't control the future. All we can do is mess up today. So we have worries and we have anxiety. And then we have failure. No matter how hard we try, sometimes our best isn't good enough. We give life our best shot and we still don't get the job or the promotion. We don't win the game. So there are failures in life. Those four things, fatigue and frustration and fear and failure, are often a sense that we're still in the good life, not the better life. A lot of people accept the promise, but they haven't acquired the power. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians. It says, Jesus included everyone in his death so that everyone could be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. Did you know that there's a life out there for you that's a far better life than you've ever lived on your own? A better life? If I was living a life of frustration and fear and fatigue and failure, and I heard a rumor that maybe out there was a better way to live, that God had a better life for me, would I want to know about it? Of course I would. If you heard that there was a better life than you're living right now, wouldn't you want to know about it? Of course you would. You're smart people. And that better life is plugged into a power. That's what Paul says. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. That's the third dimension living. I want to know the power of his resurrection. The word know in Greek is the word nosko. It means I know that I know. It's something that I know in my guts. It's not a hope. It's not I wish. It's I know. I know for sure. I absolutely know. I know the power of God in my life. Folks, I want that for you and me. Because the power of the resurrection is the power to let go of our past. The power of the resurrection is the power to start over. The power to keep going. The power to change in your life. You say, okay, how do I get the full benefit of what Jesus did for me? Fortunately, it's not rocket science. It's as easy as ABC. I accept the proof. I believe the promise. I count on the power. I accept the proof. The Bible says in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, in other words, he is who he said he was, he's God, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's Easter, you will be saved. God doesn't lie, so the starting point is I accept the proof. I believe that Jesus wasn't a con man. I believe that he is who he said he was, the Son of God. I accept the eyewitnesses. I accept the proof. Then B, I believe the promise. What's the great promise? Probably the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's the promise. Jesus will resurrect me too. That's the future. We need to accept that promise. And then the third thing is I count on his power on a daily basis. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I do know this. Life's tough. It's not easy. Some of you are going through emotional difficulty. Some of you are going through financial difficulty. Some of you are going through a health issue. Some of you have got relationship problems. We all have many different problems. Did you know that Paul one time was going through a problem and was so depressed he said, God, I'm just ready to die. He was so depressed and so discouraged by his problem, he was thinking, God, just take me to heaven right now. How did Paul make it through his difficult time? Let me show you how Paul did it. He said, I think you know about the hard time we went through in Asia. We were really crushed and overwhelmed. Ever felt like that? And feared we would never live through it. We felt we were doomed to die and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But he says, that was good. That was good. Why is that good? I'll tell you why. There's only one condition for God's power in our lives. We've got to admit that we need it. He says, for then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us, for he even raised the dead. And he did help us and saved us, and we expect him to do it again and again. That's counting on God's power. And God specializes in bringing back to life dead things. God loves to turn crucifixions into resurrections. So let me ask you this morning, what's dead in your life? If God can raise a dead person, he can raise a dead dream. If God can raise a dead person, he can raise a dead relationship. If God can do anything, that's the power of the resurrection. And many people never plug into that power. They accept the proof, they accept the promise, but they don't acquire the power. So they go around being defeated over and over and over again. Do you know what's the symbol of what we're talking about today? Easter in 3D, black and white. Colour, 3D. It's baptism. Wouldn't you know it? Baptism. Our baptism is the door that opens these things in our life. Our baptism is far more important than we realise. It's the symbol of accepting the proof. It's the symbol of accepting the promise. It's the symbol of accepting the power of God in your life. As a young man at 30 years of age, Jesus went down to the Jordan River and John the Baptist baptized him as the symbol of what was going to be his death and his burial and his resurrection. Baptism in the Bible always symbolizes death, a burial, and a resurrection. That's why we do it the way Jesus told us to do it in the Bible, by putting people underwater and bringing them back up. Just as Jesus Christ died, was buried in the ground for 3 days and then came back to life, we take you and put you under the water for 3 days. No, sorry. Leave you there and you come back up and you're resurrected. Just kidding, I made that part up. Baptism says, first I accept the proof. Baptism is the ID card of the Christian. It's the wedding ring of the Christian life. Baptism says, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not embarrassed to say Jesus is my Lord. I believe he was who he said he was. Let me show you what Jesus has to say about that. If anyone is ashamed to identify with me and my words, I will be ashamed of that person when I come in my glory with all the holy angels. But more than that, my baptism actually shows I accept the promise. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I accept the proof and I believe the promise, and then my baptism says, I will count on his power. When we were baptized, it says, we are buried with Christ. That's what Easter is, and share in his death. So just as Christ was raised from the dead by the wonderful power of the Father, we also now can live a new life. We only get the new life when we get the new power. Another verse says, when we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered the new country of grace. A new life in a new land. That's what baptism is, into the life of Jesus. Friends, when we're lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. And when we're raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. As you think about the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus for you, as you think about the proof and the promise and the power, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for what you did for me. I want to enjoy the full benefit of your death and your resurrection, so I accept the proof that you are the Son of God. And I believe your promise that you are the one who can give me eternal life. You deserve to be the Lord of my life. And I need your power in my life. I want to get to know you and the power of your resurrection on a daily basis. I want to begin learning how to live the better life that I was meant to live. Please come into my life and change me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to